Is it necessary to believe in eternal conscious torment to be saved? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this show. And we are so glad that you've decided to join us, especially for this show. We are taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us an email at radio@faithalone.org. Let's jump right into this sometimes controversial subject with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. We're taking your questions. Now, we have different formats. We have different forums for doing that. We have Grace in Focus magazine. I don't know if you
right.
know. We do this magazine every other month, and it's 48 pages, and it's full of great thought-provoking theological articles. We have a journal that we do, the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, twice a year.
It's about 100, a little over 100 pages.
Those are a little deeper for the pastor or the seminary student or the really serious, the theological hobbyist. The theology nerds will like that.
Right.
And then we do a blog every day, and that's just for everybody. And then we do this podcast. So we answer questions in different ways, different levels. And one of the ways that we answer your questions, some people just prefer listening to something short every day. And so that's what we're going to do now. Are you ready, Bob?
I'm ready. Well, I think so.
You think so? Here's, all right,
depends on your question.
Well, okay, here's one from Erwan.
Okay.
And he says, "Hi, I believe annihilationism is a heresy and that to be saved, one must believe in the conscious torment forever of the unsaved. What do you think?" That's from Erwan.
Well, I would agree with part one and disagree with part two.
So part one is annihilationism is a heresy. So what is annihilationism?
Okay, annihilationism, isn't it also called conditional immortality?
Yeah.
And the idea is that God has determined that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are immortal. That
yeah.
they're given everlasting life and they will live forever. And those who don't believe with Christ are not immortal, but they are going to die eternally.
In the sense of being extinguished, basically.
Yeah, they will be wiped out.
You either have eternal life or you have non-existence,
right.
I think is their view.
And I think their view is that when people are cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15, they are destroyed. Now, some of them, I think, would say there's some level of torment for some length of time, whether it's minutes, hours, days, decades. But
yeah.
at some point, God simply annihilates them.
And they're destroyed in the sense of being poofed out of existence, basically.
No more conscious existence.
Yeah.
No more existence.
No more existence whatsoever. So for them, eternal life and immortality are the same thing. And also, eternal existence is the same thing. To them, that's all the same thing, and you either have it or you don't.
And so, that's wrong, of course, but we don't use the word heresy on this show much, if at all. But basically, heresy means something which is contrary to orthodoxy, something
yeah.
which is contrary to the clear teaching of Scripture. And so, when Scripture indicates that those who believe in Christ have everlasting life and will be with him in his kingdom forever, and those who do not believe in Christ do not have everlasting life and will not be with him forever, but instead will be in a place called the lake of fire forever,
mm-hmm.
and they will be tormented forever. To deny that is to deny one of the clear teachings of Scripture. We might call it a fundamental teaching of Scripture.
Right. So we would agree that annihilationism is wrong. But now what about the second part that Erwan says? He says, to be saved, one must believe in conscious torment forever of the unsaved. Now, is that a condition to be born again?
Well, the idea of what he's talking about here is also something we agree with. It's called ECT, eternal
right.
conscious torment.
Right.
And you and I have written on this, and we agree with that position.
Yeah.
However, we do not agree that a person must believe that. In fact, most people...
To be born again.
To be born again.
You should believe
right.
that, because that's what Scripture teaches.
Yeah, thanks for that correction.
Yeah.
Eternal conscious torment is the teaching of Scripture. However, in the current evangelical world, I'm not even sure that position is held by more than 50% of the people in evangelicalism.
Yeah, I think it used to be that annihilationism was pretty much just taught by the Seventh-day Adventists back in the 1800s. Like, they're the only ones who held the torch for that doctrine. I think that's more popular now in evangelicals.
But when I'm talking about eternal conscious torment, I'm talking about something different than annihilationism.
Right. Well, I'm saying, yeah, that ECT has been kind of replaced by annihilationism. I think there's more and more people who believe in universalism. Everyone gets saved in the end.
That's another view. But there's also the view, which is held by many, that it's eternal unconscious torment.
Yeah, I recently read that was N.T. Wright's view.
Oh, really?
Basically, you lose the image of God. So those people are no longer have the image of God, and they become something less than human. And it's like they're not even aware of it. Now, I don't know if that's... I heard someone describe N.T. Wright's view that way, but it's... And you've encountered this, too.
There are people who say it's unconscious torment. There are some people who would say that there's postmodern conversions.
Postmortem.
After you die, you can be born again.
Yeah.
And that
was C.S. Lewis's view, I think, in The Great Divorce.
Is that right?
Yeah, he had people in hell, and you don't realize that it is hell at the beginning of the story. But they can always get on the bus and go to... It's like a literal bus. You can get on the bus and go to heaven.
I see.
But I read that like 20 years ago. I don't remember.
Yeah, there are different views on the nature of the torment. Some people say that it is maybe not physical torment, but emotional or spiritual torment.
Yeah.
Where they'll say, well, the person is tormented by the fact they've missed the kingdom. It's not that they're physically suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they have this emotional separation from Jesus and his kingdom.
Right.
And so there are a number of different views besides the ECT, eternal conscious torment. But we agree with Erwan that there is such a thing, and that is what the Bible teaches.
Well, let's come up. What are some home run verses, do you think, for ECT?
Well, one would be Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11. That's where we're told the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. That's a merism, meaning they don't have rest from torment. Who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So this is referring to tribulation unbelievers, and once they take the mark, they're sealed, and they're no longer going to be able to come to faith.
Right.
And such people will be tormented forever and ever.
And by the way, so when you read that, it's hard to come away from a verse like that to say they get snuffed out of existence and their torment does end.
Right.
You just can't get there from here.
Right. Another one that says basically the same thing is Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Maybe you could read that one. That's dealing with the millennium.
Yeah, this is a key one, I think. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I'd like to just point out, in the chapter before, chapter 19, verse 20, it says, then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And then the millennium happens, and then at the end of the millennium, that's when you have Revelation 20:10,
right,
where the devil is cast in there. And guess who's still in there?
The beast and the false prophet, which are humans.
Did they get annihilated?
No.
They didn't. They're in that fire for 1,000 years. They're still there when the devil gets cast in there.
And it's going to keep going forever.
Like there's a book, a famous annihilationist book by Edward Fudge called The Fire That Consumes. Well, I think a passage like this shows that fire does not always consume.
I think you'd be fudging the data in order to come to that conclusion. Also, Revelation 20:15. Those whose names are not in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire, the same place spoken of in Revelation 20:10, and also, what was it, Revelation 19?
20.
20.
We were also talking about, what about, now this is about Hades, but Jesus told either a story or a parable, but either way, it depicts a real scenario.
The rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16:19-31, and the rich man's in torment. It's an ongoing torment.
He's not consumed. He's not annihilated.
Right.
He's there, and he's there for who knows how long.
Well, that's obviously the experience of every unbeliever from the time they died until the time of the Great White Throne Judgment. So for someone who died 1400 BC at the time of Moses, that person's been in torment now for over 3,000 years.
Not been consumed, not been
annihilated. That's going to continue during the millennium,
yeah.
And then they're going to go to the Great White Throne Judgment, and then they'll go to the Lake of Fire. So, yes, he's right, but believing that is not a condition of everlasting life.
No, not everything that is true is something you need to believe in order to be born again.
Right, because if you were to say that, then you would ultimately have a kind of a never-ending saving message. Okay, what do you have to believe? If you have to believe that, well, then what else do you have to believe? Do you have to believe in the virgin birth? Some people would say, well, yes, of course. Do you have to believe Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Do you have to believe that Judas was the betrayer?
Or what about ECT? Do you need to know that there's a difference between Hades and the Lake of Fire? Do you need to know that there's a difference between Hades, Paradise, the Pit, Tartarus, you know,
right.
all these different
right.
places in
right.
the underworld? And there's a great book about this by Clarence Larkin, an old Baptist I absolutely love, and it's called The Spirit World. And he goes over all these different places in the Bible, which some translations just paper over it. Doesn't the King James just call them all hell?
Yeah. Well, I think the King James does have a few. I think it does use Tartarus once and the Abyss once.
But the point is, if ECT is essential to saving faith, what about it? There's so much information there. I mean, what exactly do you need to believe about ECT to be born again? It's just never ending.
Right. We may not have exactly the same view as Irwin has about ECT.
Right.
He hasn't explained exactly what he believes. So, no, in order to be born again, what does a person have to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What Jesus said in John 11:25-26 is that he's the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of resurrection. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. And that's the promise of eternal security, of everlasting life that can't be lost. That's what we have to believe. Now, we would believe what Irwin's saying, but not everybody's consistent. And not everybody even knows all these other things when they believe in Jesus for everlasting life. So let's not overcomplicate things.
I think you like to say, Bob, use the KISS method.
Yes. What is that?
Keep it simple, Saint.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss whether or not a person can be saved after death. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.